Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. We are back with just some bite-sized content for you. I nearly said looking ahead of the Hartlepool game, but we're not going to preview it that much, let's be honest. We're just getting some summer and pre-season thoughts from myself, Stephen Goldsmith, Mickey Loth and Jimmy Ray, because we haven't been around for a while doing podcasts and stuff. We're probably just going to be reiterating some of the things that Gareth, Matt and Richard said last week. Let's see how we go. I don't know why I can't talk. Excited off that Ashes drama. Right, okay. How are you doing, Mick? All right?
I'm doing good, mate. Yourself?
Yes. Have you thrown your microphone away?
No, I kind of get the sound to connect to the thing.
Okay, so well, that's better. That there sounds better than it did 2 seconds ago.
Yeah, I'm a bit notorious for me audio quality being a bit crap, so...
Okay, it sounded okay when you first said before we start recording. Never mind. Jimmy, you okay?
Yeah, all good, mate. Good, glad to be back.
We are, yeah. And everybody enjoyed the summer off, though. It's good to just have a break.
Needed it. I think, a few weeks off was what was needed, but I'm raring to go again now.
So. I was even toying with the idea of we didn't even get out with Mallorca tickets until Friday night. Toying with the idea of not bothering because I still don't quite know if I'm ready for it, but it did feel good, I think, just to get back. And it helped that it was a nice day. Mm-hmm. And obviously don't normally sit in the east stand and the sun was blazing on you, so that was a positive. Just, again, I mentioned there, we might be reiterating what some of the stuff the lads said last week, so we'll not do it too much, but general opinions on some activity in terms of transfers, Mick?
I think it's very much... my overall opinion last season that it's generally been very positive and I've been pleased with the acquisitions that we have made, but we're still lacking in key areas. So I just hopefully that can be brought in sooner rather than later, rather than we can have another good season.
We talked about centre forwards again.
But essentially, yes.
we're just carrying on from where we left off last season. The summer hasn't done much to change that. But I mean, while Jimmy is young, Jimmy, and we need to be careful not to put too much pressure on him. While not looking like a world beater, he's looked all right. He's scored in most of the games he's played in, and that's what centre forwards need to do, isn't it?
I think he's pretty much scored. I think, was it everyone he started?
Possibly, obviously, but instinctively, that's what
I saw somebody say he's 4-4, which is, I mean, obviously, granted, it's pre-season, but I think somebody mentioned on the pod the other day, and I sort of agree with that, that there's plenty of strikers we've signed in recent past who haven't got off the mark early, if at all, in terms of even in pre-season. And obviously the whole point of the pre-season games, even ones against sort of lower qualities, it does give players a chance to get off the mark and get some confidence. And you could see, I thought from his celebration on Saturday, he seemed to be buzzing to have scored. And obviously, you don't want to put too much pressure on him, and agree with Mick, obviously, that we definitely do need more reinforcements up front, but I think he's certainly shown he's got a bit about him. And for a young lad, he seems big and sort of, his movement's good in the box. Obviously, to an extent, you can blame defending, but then I'm sure most strikers would argue that it's good movement as well, not just bad defending. Charlie White scored a lot of goals like that in League One, didn't he? Where sort of ball was sort of hung in the air and he found space and nodded it in. And I think with Hemir, it's going to be a case of how he adapts to the more sort of physical and high level Championship teams. But from what we've seen, I think it's gone about as well for him as it probably could have done, really, in terms of pre-season and stuff. It just with the business in general, I thought, for a change, getting those four signings in quite early on was positive. Obviously, more are needed, like we've said. Possibly, I sort of mentioned it in my preview piece, and I know it's obviously been quite common knowledge anyway that it, generally with loans, you can't get them in as early as you can with your permanents. And I think a lot of teams in the league are waiting on being able to get loans in. I think we will be looking in the Prem loan market. I'd expect us to be. I know we'll link with Tom Cannon and a couple of others as well, go sort of forward options. So while I'm not necessarily using that as an excuse, I do think there's definitely a reasoning behind why possibly we haven't been able to complete all of our business yet.
I definitely think a centre for if they're going to bring another, because we're kind of where we are, like we were last season in terms of in a way. I mean, I know we've got an extra body in the door now, but he's going to be injured as well for a while by the sounds of it. So we kind of, you know, one striker fit, a couple of things to quickly note. At least he looks like a number nine, you know, not like Gerlard did. We're not looking here and thinking, oh, I'm not sure he's quite number nine. He looks like every bit of number nine, doesn't he?
Definitely.
Which definitely makes you wonder about Speakman's comments when he said we don't play with number nines. Anyway, and I think just to back what you said there, Jimmy, I think realistically, you know, we do have three strikers who are on the books now who are Sunderland players. Yes, two of them are injured. That sort of suggests it's going to be a loan signing if they're going to bring another person in. And I think people would say that was fair enough. While you want four strikers ideally competing for places, Mick, for a championship club, realistically, one of those is going to be a loan signing, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, especially because of, naturally with them coming from a higher level, loan players are going to be of a higher quality. So like players like Ahmad don't usually become available until clubs have like finalised the squads for the season and had those initial games and have really gotten nailed down what the starting 11 is going to be. I think to kind of praise the recruitment team for, I do think we've solved quite a few issues from last season. So I think the physicalities being a big part of our shortcoming in the Luton game in the playoffs last season, which I know one of the lads touched on the podcast, but the centre-halves we brought in, Triantis, he's really physically imposing, Zealot, he's a big lad as well. But not only do they bring in a physical presence, but both, by all accounts and from what I've seen, really comfortable on the ball and good at playing out. And I thought it was telling on Saturday that we played all nine in the centre-half instead of Danny Bart. Because, and you saw with the distribution from Patterson, oftentimes it was really short to 0-9, or 0-9 was laying the ball off directly from the goal kick. And whilst I think Danny Barth's a very, very good defender, he's not necessarily the best at playing the ball out from the back. And Anthony Patterson's distribution, particularly when he has to go along, isn't really up to the standard of what we're really looking for. And both Triantis and Zeal, like, they stride out of the ball and play these quite progressive balls up the field, and they try and break lines and stuff. So I think that's definitely going to be a feature of our game this season. So I'm pleased to see that with the signs that we have made, there seems to be a clear logic and reason behind the players that we've brought in, which is really encouraging.
Yeah, and we needed reinforcements in that position. So, you know, generally speaking, the recruitment look on the face of it like they've done a good job. Obviously, you have to reserve judgment a little bit. We've been here before with signings in the past where you think they look exciting on paper and then they're anything. But you would say the track record so far of this team would allow them that trust a little bit. Interesting that we were all calling for experience. Bradley Dack seemed like such an obvious link to make. I was a big fan of Richard kind of rubbishing the link, and then 12 hours later being confirmed by the club, which is a typical wise men say a fashion, not just down to Richard personally. But risk-free, that one, Jim? Free transfer?
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, in terms of his experience, obviously he's had issues with his knee injuries. What I would say with those is, like, they were very much like one after the other kind of freak, but long-term injuries. If you look over the course of his career, he's played a decent number of games and seasons where he hasn't had those big injuries. So, yeah, I think risk-free. Like you say, he's on a free. He'll be on a bit more money, you'd imagine, than the younger players who've come in. But like you said, we did need experience then. And to get a player of his level, you are going to have to pay a bit more in wages, you'd imagine. I mean, and I'd also say, in terms of the type of player he is, I can see him fitting in well. You know, close control, creative. He scored a fair few goals. Mowbray was, I know Mowbray seems to really love him. So he was very gushing in his praise about what he can bring to the team. And I don't doubt that that's the case, given... Obviously, I can't say I've watched loads of Blackburn with him playing, but, you know, you see highlights of goals he scored and things, and played against us in both games, I think, didn't he, last season, and looked quite good. He certainly remember at the Stadium of Light anyway, and I'm pretty sure he played at Ewood Park too. But
I just hope it's not a replacement for Pritchard, and I hope the ball stay around for the season.
I don't think it would be.
It would be good to have the alternative, because it seems like they would be options for each
both
other.
I think, like, with Pritchard, we know... From the two seasons we've had him, he won't play. He can't, you know,
well, that's
won't
what I mean.
Play
all
the games. So, and I think as well, to be honest, we haven't seen any rumours of anyone being in for Pritchard that I've seen anyway. So I wouldn't necessarily say because Dak came in on the free. It's probably like an addition rather than a replacement. Initially, I did think, oh, that's going to be a sort of a Pritchard, but actually having thought about it a bit more and having seen nothing since Dak signed to suggest that Pritchard was looking to go, I don't see why we can't.
I think they would sell him if somebody came in and offered, because he's in the last year of his contract. Mm-hmm. And I think if somebody come in and offered them some a decent amount of money from them, again, you couldn't really blame them for taking that option up. But from a selfish point of view, I would like them to be the two options in that position.
Yeah,
I do think as well. Sorry, Jim.
No, sir.
I do think that Bradley Dack does offer something quite different from Pritchard, though, because I think Pritchard is a very highly skilled technical footballer, but when you look at his goal return, Pritchard, I think he scored 8 goals for us across 90 appearances. So he's got 4 in League One and 4 in the Championship. And yes, Dak only got 4 last season, but he's got a 1-3 record for Blackburn. Now, I know one of them seasons was in League One, but he actually, in one season for Blackburn, when he was fully fit, he scored 15 goals across the season for them, and he scored 9 in another season. And one thing we're going to have to really do over the next season is replace the goals that we're going to lose from Ahmad. So I think he could be a really good addition in that sense. And I think that he plays like much more of a free role. So he could be a really good addition to have, especially if we have that physical presence of Hemmer and hopefully we bring in another physical striker. I think he could be really good to be kind of buzzing around the centre forward and getting on the end of any knockdowns and getting around the feet for good balls and behind. So I think he could be a very astute bit of business, to be honest, Bradley Dack.
Yeah, agree. I mean, I didn't realise his goal record was that good, but that does kind of tie in with what I've heard from, first from Over, but also from some Blackburn fans. I think they did like him. Obviously, I think he was definitely Yondal Thomason fancied him as much, which is probably why he wasn't offered a new deal at the end of the season. But yeah, I think like you say, McGoals need to be replaced, and if he can find what the goal scoring form he's had, he's going to be playing with, you know, he's got plenty of opportunity on the ball. He's going to have plenty of people to bounce off, like you say, plenty of space. And if he's got the sort of the technical ability and football and brain to do it, I think he slot right in really well with who we've already got, to be honest. I think you can imagine him sort of interplay with Roberts, Clark, people like that. You know, I think it could really work well.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how we start the season generally, because obviously, you know, Pritchard not there at the moment, so it's like it was interesting to see the change in shape, which I guess he might not have, you know, had an option to do otherwise. But what was interesting, I thought, with the shape on Saturday was how you would normally have the two midfielders and then the number 10, and then the two wide players in the centre forward. It was very visibly different in that where we're sitting the furthest back and allowing Neil and are we going with Job? Or are we going with Bellingham? Are we going with Bellingham? I'm not on board with Job yet. So that was the triangle shape in the middle of the park, which is not something we've really seen under Mowbray. So a couple of things on that. It's good to see that they're trying different things.
Yeah.
Secondly, to see that Ekwa was the deepest rather than Neil, because out of the two of them last season, I know when Ekwa signed, there were a lot of presumptions that he was going to be the deep player. Probably a lot of, you know, assumptions being made because he's big, physical, and those kind of big, physical, tall midfielders generally are the ones who were like ball winners, aren't they? But he looks like he's got way more than that. Neil had to reinvent himself last season as a defensive midfielder. And I wonder, in a way, if this was almost like an audition for Neil to say, well, okay, we'll try things this way. Go and make stuff happen for us.
Yeah, I mean, especially
if we're being really harsh against Mallorca, yeah. I'm not sure we would have passed that audition, but it's a very small sample size and it'd be very harsh to judge him just off that.
Well, I mean, I was going to say, like, I mean, you know, against a technical La Liga team like Mallorca were, I think, you know, that the midfield battle was going to be always quite, you know, tough, if you like, because they certainly had some high quality technical players all over the pitch. Really, I thought it was a really good sort of contest, a good yardstick, and obviously we did tie in towards the end and stuff. But yeah, I agree. I think it's interesting to see the shape change, and or having different strings to your bow is key. Because last season, sometimes, I know obviously we were hamstrung by lack of personnel at times, but it would have been good to be able to see a bit more variation, I think, in terms of what we can do. Again, depending on who you're playing, because against some teams, what we did last season, we were better, and then other teams maybe will need a bit of a different formation. Like you said, with Bellingham, I think it's interesting for him because obviously highly rated because he's got the name, his brother did all right at Birmingham City. I think he's got potential to be a massively exciting signing. Obviously, it depends on how he develops, but even if he's like half as good as his brother, then he's going to be like really, really good. So
even that feels like a massive amount of pressure to put on somebody. He should be half as good as Real Madrid star signing for the
summer. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, he seems to be like similar to Jude in that regard. He seems to be very confident and seems to be happy to play and take on responsibility on the first team level at a very young age. And you know, that can only be a good thing, really, can't it? So I think as long as he's not, we don't want to rely on him too much, but I think definitely he'll get his fair share of minutes probably from quite early on, given that he seems to be quite versatile, if you like. He seems to be able to play quite far. You know, at times he's played quite far forward, but also he can drop back a bit and he seems to be able to carry the ball well. So interesting, flexible. He can probably cover two or three different areas, midfield positions, depending on what we need. So, yeah, I think another shrewd bit of business.
Hard to remember sometimes how young he is as well. Like, you've got to put that in because he's so big and he's had quite a bit first-team experience already. But, like, 17-year-old, isn't he? Like, it's normally those players are nowhere near the first team. Like, they're in the under-23s and... And you know, where you're sometimes debating as a fan base, whether like a certain 21-year-old is ready for the first team yet, and it's just mental. See, we've got some of these players who are so young and look just first team ready, or certainly like they're going to be there or thereabouts on that front. Mick, Chris Rigg, thoughts on his cameo? It wasn't even a cameo. We're going to see him a lot, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, Mowbray is not a player who necessarily heaps pressure on young players where it's not warranted. And he, after one of the first pre-season games, I think, where he scored, said that I would suggest that Chris Rigg will be pushing for a first-team place in our side this season. And for Tony Mowbray to come out and say that, I think it's very telling, because Mowbray, he doesn't like to put a load of undue pressure on players. I think he always gives a speech of, we've got to give them time, we've got to bed them in, we've got to remember they haven't had much football. But, I mean, I'm sad enough to have watched all of the pre-season games so far on the streams and such. And, yes, I mean, the quality of the opposition, particularly in the final game, wasn't really up to the level you'd expect. In the first game, New Mexico, they might not be an MLS side, but they are top of their league. And he played well in that game, scored a goal. And what I really like about Rigg, he has no fear whatsoever. He doesn't play within himself. He gets the ball. He's tenacious. He likes to run at people. You saw at the weekend where he got the ball and he knocked it past two or three of their lads and drove a foul and won the free kick. And he likes to get stuck in. I think he very much has the belief to be a part of the first team setup. Of course, we can't be reliant on him. And I think that's a little bit of a theme across the midfield. I think it's very exciting that we've got so many good, young, technical footballers in the team. But really now, you're looking at that midfield and Dan Neal's kind of your senior operator, who's had two full seasons of senior football. And really has only held the centre defensive midfield role for the second half of last season. So what we don't want is a position where we're expecting lads to do jobs slightly above where they are in their career in terms of a development, because I think it's good that we can interchange between Ekwa as a holding midfielder or Dan Neal as a holding midfielder, pushing one of the two on if necessary. But I don't want a situation where we've got a load of young lads in the midfield looking around for somebody to step up and really take a hold of the baton, really, in terms of that seniority, because last season it was an outstanding season. But don't forget, we did, after January, go through that run where I think we won one game out of nine. And I'm not saying that necessarily like it's to be expected, but I just hope we haven't left ourselves slightly short in terms of someone who can step up into that role.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. There's still this team and squad, maybe not so much the squad anymore now with Dak arriving, but like, let's be honest, he's not going to be fit now. Charles Fitness, who knows? As we know, Corey Evans, they do need a little bit more.
Do we know when Evans is due back?
Wasn't close to the new year?
Oh, is it that long? Is it? Oh, well.
I thought, I could be wrong.
Because I thought October, but I think that might be Stewart, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah,
but yeah, I think,
I thought there was
him. I agree. If they can maybe try and get a short term, maybe like a similar to Dak in terms of like a free agent or similar. Sort of a bit old. It doesn't have to be as old as Corey Evans, but someone more experienced. I think absolutely right. But I think the problem is in terms of like, and this is one of the kind of issues I guess I have with the way they have recruited. I'm not sure that they've left. That appears to be somewhere that they're prioritising looking in terms of like, we've signed a lot of midfielders, but we haven't signed that type. And I just wonder, are they going to look to sign any more midfielders in that area? I mean, like, hopefully, you know, maybe a free or something. We don't seem to do that too often. But we'll, like you said, I mean, I'm fully kind of ready to give them the benefit of the doubt to a certain extent, but I can't help but agree with Mick that I think we don't want to neglect experience in the middle of the park because, like you say, it's a lot of pressure, especially Saturday, Tuesday.
It's not like we're asking for them to sign like six players who've like, no. You know, the wrong end of 30. It's just a sprinkle of it, isn't it? It's still missing a bit because, you know, what it's like, you know, young players express themselves as great and it's really good to watch and stuff like that. But we all, you know, we're in the real world here and a couple of bad games are going to need people to be lifting them. The last thing on the Morgan game, that. Right back was wild, wasn't he? You know, not only that red card, like which was. It was some effort to be sent off in a friendly. I mean, it was just unbelievable that. But I mean, we noticed obviously sitting in the East Stand in the first half, and he just the narcissism of the fact that he had like tattoos on the upper half of his left leg, so he'd cut his left shorts right up. So you could see it. So his shorts were uneven. And at first you just thought, well, had he rolled it up? But actually when he got close to the touchline, he'd cut it off above the tattoo just to show the stadium of like Sunderland his tattoos, which is
unbelievable. Not for me. I obviously didn't go. I watched it on the stream so that I couldn't see that from that angle. But that doesn't surprise me given the way he went on in general. I just thought like the whole thing was ridiculous, to be honest. I did quite enjoy how many of our players sort of seemed to be straight in for the scrap after the foul. Yeah, big Nectar Triantis steaming in straight away. We love to see it. Obviously not shy. As you would, well, you wouldn't expect that from Aussie, to be fair. But I think it was a ridiculous end to what was quite a good game. I mentioned before the lack of fitness, I guess, towards the end. I think Mowbray mentioned, didn't he, that he'd only got his first proper night's sleep after the jet lag or whatever on the Friday night. I imagine a lot of the players are in a similar boat in that regard. And I think the hot weather that we played in the US probably will have had a good effect on sort of, you know, your aerobic sort of exercise and breathing and a bit like sort of similar to like altitude training, but I guess obviously in the heat it'd be useful for fitness. Maybe not to take effect straight away, but I think we should hopefully see a benefit to that moving forwards. I'd imagine the players will be well rested now, obviously for Hartlepool tomorrow, but more importantly for next week. I think probably just having the initial week after getting back from the US was probably the issue there in terms of a bit of tiredness towards the end. And the games out there, the humidity and heat, I mean, you can see why they've been tired towards the end of those games as well. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about that. I think the fitness... Mowbray certainly. I mean, I'm you know, in Mowbray, we trust when it comes to this sort of thing. If he's happy with the fitness levels, then I'm not going to second guess him because A, I haven't been there to measure the fitness levels he has, and B, I don't imagine he'd be too shy to say if he thought the players needed to work a bit harder, but he hasn't really sort of said that. So yeah, quite happy with it.
Just finishing up then. Obviously, we're not going to the Hartlepool game in detail or anything like that, but. There's a bit of hype around Sunderland at the moment, I feel. Listen, they're not the top 20 podcast earlier. They had us finishing fifth in the production. Yeah. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone who was planning on listening to it. Tier 2, I haven't done theirs yet. Well, I have, but they just did the bottom 8. Expectations now? They're up this season, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, like you think anything below a playoff place now, fans are going to think.
Well, I think rightfully so. I mean, I think you have to always look to build on the season before. So I can see why neutrals have got us high league. But, you know, we played some great football last season, got into the playoffs against the odds. Our chance, I mean, I know obviously fans of every club will always be a bit more sort of expectant and maybe like sort of want more from a window. But I think from a neutral perspective, I imagine our window probably looks quite good. We've made a lot of signings quite early, a lot of quite exciting names and stuff like that. So I can see why sort of your neutrals who, you know, like these, yeah, not the top 20, second tier, all that, they obviously will do their research based off things like that. And obviously our last season's performances. So I can see why they're backing us. And I think we should expect the same. obviously the league could well be tougher next season, given that the you know, Leicester and Southampton especially seem to be splashing the cash, haven't come down. Leeds seem to be struggling a bit to do that, but obviously Ipswich coming up, they seem to have a lot of money, and they did
good.
Yeah, I think that'll be good. I think that'll be a good test actually on Sunday, in terms of obviously they've got a kind of similar model to us, I think, in terms of how they try and do their business. But I think they have maybe got a bit more heavy on the experience this time in terms of having just come straight up in terms of what signings they've made. But it's hard to know what to expect other than they were very good in League One and seem to have done some decent business. So I think, it'd be a good test for us. I don't think it's one to get too high on if we beat them and too low on if we don't. But I think certainly it'll be a good yardstick to see where we are in the face of what are quite a sort of an exciting prospect themselves. Other than that, I think we just have to try and hit the ground running as much as we can, and really try and make sure that we do plug the gaps that still need to be plugged between now and the end of the window.
Yep. I think Ipswich will be good, and I think Southampton will be there. On paper, they've got everything you need to do really well this season, because they've always had a similar model anyway. The criticism I got last season was the players assigned were too young and experienced, but a lot of those will be championship ready, on top of parachute payments, on top of income for some of the bigger players who are gonna move on. Everything leads towards Southampton being the standout team this season. But we don't know, Mick. Do we any final thoughts, Mick? I'm gonna hand over to you. Come on, give us something.
I think it's going to be quite difficult to pitch expectations this season, because I think it's a lot more nuanced than just saying, oh, well, we got in the playoffs last year, so this year we need to try and target automatic promotion. I mean, now the playing field is not like it used to be when we won the league under Mick McCarthy and Roy Keane, because now I think it's that skewed in favour of teams that are coming down from the Premier League. It's almost a bit of an unfair playing field. And then you've got to factor in as well that while getting to the playoffs was extremely impressive last season, it was unusual to get into the playoffs on 69 points. So my comment would be that, let's say we're 8th or 9th in the table in October and November and people start getting a bit restless, I think it's more instructive to look at how many points we've accumulated and how we've performed so far.
Yeah,
because I think that will give you a much better picture of how we'll do over the season. Because I think if you look at it in raw terms of, we could finish 8th this season on higher points than what we got into the playoffs last season. So I think you've got to judge the progress of the club and the progress of the players overall. I mean, what shows how hard it is to pitch. I think last season, the opening day against Coventry, me and my dad coming away from the game both said, that's a really good point and a good performance, because Coventry are a solid mid-table team. So that suggests that we could be. And then both teams ended up in the playoffs. So it just goes to show how, I know it's a cliche, but it's a very unpredictable league. Just one final thought, just before we wrap up, talking about transfers, it looks like finally, because Man U's come back off the two, we'll be getting the number two goalkeeper in with that Nathan Bishop, who's already made a good impression on me by Ryland Phil Parkinson.
Yeah, that was great.
So now I'm just wondering what people's thoughts were on there, because for me, he seems to be essentially like another Alex Bass. Like, he's not obviously played for Man U other than the under-21s, and then he's had experience at Southend when he was younger and he was on loan at Mansfield, but really he's never played above League One in terms of standards. So I just worry, because for me, it's difficult to do, but you need a number two keeper who, if Patterson did pick up a knock, you'd be confident throwing into a championship fixture. And I'm not quite sure that we've done that, so I just wonder what your thoughts were.
All I'd say on him is I agree, although Bass... basically, I think Bishop, given that he was signed by Man United, I think he... I'd be inclined to say, without having seen much of it, that he'll have more to offer than Bastard, based off...
Mark Lynch came from Man United, Jim, just saying.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, that's... I don't know, yeah, fair. But, I mean, he's got to be better than Bass, hasn't he, surely?
We'll see. Luckily, we weren't put in that position last season, so who knows? Maybe they've got the eye on a couple, so you never know. Right, OK, well, that was a nice little catch-up. Matt and whoever will be back to preview that Ipswich game. We're nearly there again already. So as always, everybody, thanks for listening.